How's it going, man?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good, good.
On to episode one now?
Yeah. We're going to call it episode one this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I put in the little note thing, so that's what it's going to be.
Sounds good.
So, big news this week, and this is all actually hinging on me getting this edited and out before the event on Monday, but the event is happening on Monday.
That's right. You got two speakers, as usual. So we have Alex Stobe, who's a returning speaker to DevTO. And actually, Alex Stobe is his last name. And then we also have Hani from VM Farms. And they're going to talk about, one topic is Tales from the Upside, taking Black Friday. And that's Hani's topic. And Hani's the CEO of VM Farms. And then Alex Stobe is going to talk about evaluating employers like a VC. And Alex works at a recruiting company in Toronto.
And we're at Pivotal Labs again, which is exciting.
Yeah. That's a great space.
Yeah.
That's the one we had... No Country for Old Programmers event back in the fall of last year.
Yep, great event. Yeah, tons of fun.
So if you're listening to the podcast, check out the video for that event. It's on the blog, No Country for Old Programmers.
Excellent. Okay, so we got that out of the way. Do a little follow-up from the last show. Not like we had any feedback to follow up on. Because, you know, there was a few people that I was, you know, obviously looked at the stats in Google Analytics and, you know, there was like something like 20 some odd unique page views and like an average page visit time of like 10 minutes.
Hmm.
So, you know, that's not terrible.
No.
I mean.
But I guess they could have downloaded the thing.
And yes, then watch it later. Yeah, that's possible. You could also could have watched it from the like just the homepage, like the index page. I didn't really look at that. But anyways, it doesn't really matter. We'll just, you know, we're doing what we're doing and you know, people will listen if it's if they like it. But my mom's going away. My mom and my stepdad go to down south to South Carolina every February, but I said like she'll have high speed internet down there. She doesn't have that where she lives, but I said, you know, I'll send you the links to all the shows that we've done so far, and you can listen to them when you're down there. And she was totally stoked to do that. So, nice. Hi, mom.
Yeah, awesome.
Anything else? You got any follow up? Anything from the last show?
No, I've seen some stuff on Twitter about it, but haven't gotten any feedback yet. And we'd appreciate some feedback, kind of how to improve it, I guess. How did it sound? And if you are podcast yourself, I guess, give us some tips. We're total beginners at this, so.
Yeah, it's actually another quick note. I have a friend who does the podcast. Hi, Julian. If anybody's listening to this, he does a podcast with a friend of his. It's called It's Weird for Everyone. It's good. They got a really good setup going. They do a really good job. It sounds great. So go listen to them too. So I saw that you tweeted a couple of days ago that you'd been using the Stripe API.
Yeah.
I'm total API guy. I love them. We make I do a lot of that kind of thing at work, like making APIs and stuff like that. I really into that kind of thing right now. So what do you think of it?
So until I came across Stripe, we've been using the PayPal API for the most part. And coming from the PayPal API, it's been kind of like tricky getting things to work the way you want them, and documentation isn't really great, I find, at least with the when we've done it in the past. There's like a lot of cases where even like the answers you're looking for aren't even on the PayPal forum documentation. You'll find it on some strange forum, and you're like, oh, here's a spec for what this response is supposed to send back. And you'll see like a flag, and what does this flag mean? And you'll, and it's not documented, and then you'll find it somewhere where someone else struggled with it. So I think kind of like for me, it was like the PayPal API had the issue, big issue with it was that the documentation wasn't great. But Stripe, I mean, so this was the first time I've kind of been playing with it and trying to do the same thing that we were doing with PayPal. And it's just like amazing how they've designed it, how like the look of it is great, the dashboard is fabulous, the documentation is amazing, like some of the best API docs I've really seen anywhere. And what I do like about it is they've kind of followed with kind of, you know how with the Backbone they've got the annotated source, so they have the annotated source alongside their in their API doc. So as you're going through, you're looking at the API methods, and they have kind of like on the side there's the code, and on the left side is like your explaining the endpoint and what the outputs the responses are and all that stuff. So it's really nice setup there. One thing I just discovered last night, which kind of tripped me out a bit, was if you're logged in on Stripe and you're looking at the documentation while you're logged into your account, the sample outputs in the documentation reflect data that you've loaded in your test. In your test instance. So I was looking at some test payment plans that I've set up, and then in the documentation I saw the same names that I've put in, and I was like, you know, that could be a coincidence. Like, okay, someone would have used like whatever test 1, 2, 3
test 4. Data, right?
Yeah. Okay. I was like, okay, so that's coincidence. I didn't pay too much attention to it, but when I started kind of creating customers on Stripe through like from our application. And then I'm looking at just the customer API documentation, and I started seeing my name and people on my team's name in the document. I was using everybody's email addresses and stuff like that. And I was like, what the hell? How do they know this guy sits next to me? And so that was kind of like for a moment there, I was like, what? This is crazy. And like, why would they do that? I don't have any good reason besides that it's pretty like interesting, kind of like, or just like for that, oh my god, this is awesome. Just like,
well, for me, like the way I see that is it's kind of like like polish.
Yeah,
it's
like exactly.
Going the extra little step to make it like it's not hard to do, obviously. No. Because you know you're logged into the port, like to the dashboard. Yeah. So you like they know who you are, they know what your data is. I mean, yeah. It's not being displayed publicly in any way, but it gives, like, you know, that extra little bit of relevance to sample code. Now, with the API, now I'm doing some work with Amazon, with the AWS, Amazon Web Services, APIs and stuff like that. And it's a little, I'm not going to talk about it, but, you know, that's a very enterprise-y like API, and the way you use it is very enterprise-y. And I've used a lot of, I guess, what I would consider like more modern APIs. I didn't really look at the Stripe API, but I'm going to guess that it's fitting my mental idea of what like a more modern API is, like really simple. Like the documentation is really thorough and like there's not very much of it. Mm-hmm. Really consistent and simple return messages and ways of posting, information to it. Like that's what it is. Right.
Yeah.
So have you done work with like, you know, enterprise-y?
So we've done like, so the product we work at work, we've, done some integrations with other, like more, I guess, enterprise APIs. And One big thing I notice, I'm not sure if this is applies to everything, but one thing I do notice, those kind of like larger products, they don't always have a client libraries for their API. They'll give you a RESTful endpoint, and that's great, but then it lets you have to handle a lot of stuff that you don't want to handle, and figuring out authentication and okay, like you need to do OAuth. Okay, so their there's no client library. So okay, I need to include some OAuth library into my application, and then I need to figure out okay how to use that. And so I think kind of like what I did like a lot about Stripe, it was they have tons of libraries for all sorts of different languages, and it's just that's the library you use it. This is how you call the endpoints, and it takes care of all that stuff, and then basically lets you focus on actually integrating with the API and not really jumping through hoops to get to the API.
Yeah, not having to like write all your own code just to do that, you know, heavy lifting with the API.
Like, yeah.
Then that's what, you know, I mean, not knocking Amazon. I mean, they had client libraries for every language that you could possibly imagine. It was, and they are, you know, reasonably well done. You know, I do .NET stuff, and the .NET SDK stuff is, you know, it's all right. It's, you know, it's again, it's using some pretty like old patterns and not really up to date kind of thinking, but that's not, you know, that's not really here or there. It just requires you to write like a ton of code to do anything,
mm-hmm.
like creating request objects and sending them, and it's wonky.
Yeah,
you know, it's, and you know, more modern things, it's like you just sort of like create a client.
Exactly. Kind of,
in essence, and then say like, you know, get accounts or get balance or
yeah.
whatever it is, and you know, you can, you know, like in .NET, like in C#, you'd have like a fluent kind of thing, fluent okay. language type thing, and I don't know what, like in Java, I don't know what you do in that.
Yeah, so you have like, yeah, you do have like these objects that
yeah,
and then for each type of request that you're doing, there's that object, and you give it its parameters, and then you say, you know, whatever, save it or create customer or
yeah.
Create charge or whatever. The other thing I did like about the Stripe, so if you're integrating payment into your product, and kind of like for us when we started, the PayPal was like the natural answer that came to everybody. We're like, oh, we'll use PayPal. Everybody knows that. We don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And PayPal will take care of all of it. And one thing is, then once you've integrated it, there's different ways that you can do it. But if you don't want to worry about kind of like doing a payment audit on your application, you don't want to worry about have those headaches. In the PayPal case, when you integrate it, it takes you through that chain of PayPal screens where they leave your product and then you go through that, and that's how they get around that for you not to have to do the payment a payment audit on your site and your
yeah.
But so Stripe, they've tackled the problem completely differently, and they want Stripe to remain in the background, and they don't want, like, your customers shouldn't even know that you're using Stripe unless you put like a Stripe image on the screen, yeah, for example.
Powered by Stripe,
yeah,
or something.
So, but you can do it all in the background without even leaving your app at all, whether it's a mobile app or a web app even. So, and the way they've gotten around that is pretty, and you don't have to worry about doing an audit on your site for security purposes. And the nice thing they've done is you include on your front end, let's say, so in our web application, you include this Stripe client JavaScript, and its job is basically you feed it, so you have your form in your application, you give that Stripe JavaScript the form inputs, like credit card number, the expiry date, the CVC number, and then it creates a token out of all these. And that token is what you use to communicate with Stripe.
Yeah.
So never at any point does a credit card number go to your backend. It's all through the client side on the browser that and Stripe where that token is generated. So there's nothing in your server's memory about any customer credit card numbers, and then that's what you store on the in your database. So you will store these tokens and for customers, and that's it. And then in your application, at any point you can say, okay, get me this guy's token, and then tell Stripe, charge this token $10, or put this token on a $10 a month plan.
Well, and that's and that sounds like really simple in terms of how you have to integrate. Like, I've done stuff with PayPal, and I've done stuff with their API where you have a validated site and like get all the merchant account stuff and that whole thing. And, you know, their API is just like the stuff you have to store about. You have to store.
It's a lot of stuff.
You have to store so much stuff. Like, but locally.
but you don't even in that case, in with PayPal's case, they never give you. You never store the credit card. Like that never goes back and forth. You never see that in your application.
Yeah, but there's still, there's all this other stuff you have to maintain. Yeah,
and even just to get to that point was a headache for us. Just to. And at some point, like, what we wanted to do wasn't supported in the PayPal plan that we were subscribed to, and they were like, you have to go to this other thing, or you have to get a shopping cart and then do this. And it was like all these hurdles that it was like, no, we don't want to collect credit cards, we just want to charge money and just do that. And it was just so hard. And I loved like Stripe, like once I've learned about them, I love that it was like built by developers for developers. These guys that built it understand the pains of integrating payments, and they've made it really easy. And so kudos to them. And it was like, it's really job well done.
Yeah, I totally agree. It seems like they're, you know, a well-run company. They're doing all the right things. They're growing quickly, but not like, not you know, crazy quickly or anything like that.
I read an interesting story about them when they were, I think they started at like Y Combinator, maybe.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah, that's very well. No, I think.
Yeah, it is.
One of the dudes from Twitter. One of the guys from Twitter started. Jack Dorsey started.
Square, not Stripe.
Though. Yeah, sorry. Oops.
But we'll cut that out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I read an interesting story about them that they. So when they first built it, and they were going around. Whatever the city they were in to kind of get their first customers, they would go to these events or like meet developers in coffee shops or wherever, and they'd tell them about Stripe and this is what it is and kind of learn what they're using for payments and so on. But then the nice thing that they would do is they'd be like, okay, so are you convinced? You want to try Stripe? And some, like, let's say you're the developer, and you'd be like, yeah, sure. I want to try it. How do I sign up? And then they'd pull up their laptop, and then they'd create the account, and they would the founders would sit down with you and get Stripe integrated in your app right there. And you'd be like, let's do it now. It'll take an hour, and we'll do. And it literally, that's how fast. Like, just to. Let's say you want to pull whatever your monthly plans.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's no better sales tactic than that, is there?
Yeah, they sat down, they showed you the API. Here's how you call it, and let's create a test plan for you. And okay, here's your whatever basic plan. It's $10 a month. Now let's get that to pull into your application so you can. And they just set it up and then off you go. And it's so easy. Like I've implemented, like, the API is huge. I don't need to use all of it, but I implemented like maybe a dozen different endpoints that I needed to use in a day.
Well, that's pretty impressive. And
in terms of our service, like our services, to get to the same point with PayPal, it was like 2 weeks of like.
Yeah.
Trying different things and running into errors and then trying other roundabout ways. And then you get this weird flag and what do you do with this and how to detect errors and all that stuff. It's amazing. I'm like really impressed, and that's why I tweeted that.
Yeah, I mean that's and that's why you just talked about it for a good 10 minutes. That's great though.
Yeah,
it's Stripe, you should sponsor the podcast.
They should. We're gonna tweet at them, tell them we talked about you for 10 minutes in this podcast.
We'll do it. They'll love it, and yeah, then they'll sponsor us.
Yes.
So I have a not, well, maybe it's a technical related thing, but there's something I'd like to talk about. That is post-secondary education, kids. Just for the record, I have 3 kids, and my oldest son is graduating high school this year.
Nice, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Long time coming.
Yeah. No, he did. He did really well. He's been, you know, holding down a job at McDonald's and going to school for the last year or so, and yeah, you know, but he's having trouble deciding what he wants to do next. He's, you know, he does want to go to college, but he's not sure exactly what he wants to go and do there. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to college or university or any post-secondary stuff like that. I started working in my career that I'm in now when I was like 19.
Nice.
So I don't really have a lot of advice to offer him in that respect, like in terms of school. The only advice I can really offer is like, you know, you should probably know what you want to do when you're going there. But he's also, you know, there's like quite a bit to this, so I'll just sort of get it all out and then I'll get some feedback from you. He's also got, my father and my stepmother live, like his grandparents live out in Victoria, and they've said, you know, if you want to come out here and, you know, check out, schools in Victoria or Vancouver or Alberta or something like that, you know, you're more than welcome to come and stay out here for a few months, you know, pick up a little job or whatever around the place. And, so he's got that option. So it's, you know, there's a lot of stuff he could do, but, and one of the things, you know, my sister, actually, I was talking to my sister about it, and she said, you know, there's nothing wrong with working and, you know, working for a year or two or whatever, and taking some night courses or community college courses to sort of figure out what it is you want to do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's kind of the landscape of the issue. I know you went to university, right?
Yeah.
So where did you went to?
I went to McMaster University.
McMaster, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and when I started, I thought I was going to go into mechanical engineering. And the funny story is that the whole year I thought I was going to go into mechanical engineering. And then the deadline, at the end of the year, you have this deadline where you have to say, okay, what is it you're going to start? Because the first year is like general engineering.
Right.
And at the end of the first year, then you have this deadline that you have to pick what you're gonna start doing in second year and third and fourth, basically. What are you gonna specialize in? And right. I picked mechanical engineering. And then the night before the deadline, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was like, do I really wanna do mechanical engineering? I did like that programming class. And I did like the one programming class I had in high school. And at that point I've played around with Flash, ActionScript, and like did some like Visual Basic, no web development, but I've done some,
right.
Actually I did a little bit of HTML, I guess, and you know, scrolling some text on the page and stupid shit like that. But that last night I woke up and I was like, no, you know what, I think I want to go into software engineering. And I logged in and I switched like the night before the deadline.
Wow.
And and I think kind of that what, like, I think everything, like, just everything will figure itself out.
Like, so you going to university in the first place, was that, like, Was that your choice? Was that something that was expected of you? Was it a little of both?
Yeah, I would say it was both. I mean, like both my parents went to university, and that was kind of like the expectation. You would go to university somewhere.
Right.
I came to Canada because, believe it or not, and I was an international student in Canada when I was studying here, but tuition for international students is still cheaper than tuition back in Dubai or other places.
Wow.
And tuition elsewhere is almost comparable to like tuition in the States. So
which is expensive.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
It's like 40 grand or like I remember a friend of mine, he applied to a university in the States and he got a scholarship, and it was a $3,000 scholarship, and his tuition was $38,000.
Oh my God.
And he was like, yeah, I'm not going there. What am I doing with what am I going to do with a $3,000? I still have to come up with like $35,000 somehow.
And that's per year. I was going to say, like, that's just for the 1 year, right?
Yeah, exactly. And as an international student, tuition was, I think in Canada, it's like, now it's even higher, but when I started, it was, I think, 10 grand per year or something like that, or 12, and then Canadians were paying like 5,000.
Wow.
But I think now, I look at some of the, when I looked at like tuitions for McMaster, it's like up like 16,000.
For so just regular like, students or for international students?
Wow. Canadians are up to like 8,000-9,000. So it's like you can see like it's almost doubled since so I graduated like 9 years ago, and it's almost doubled in those years.
Wow. So yeah, like 10 years, it's almost doubled.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
But yeah, I think kind of like regardless of what your son does in university, like the first year is pretty general stuff.
Okay, so that's kind of like what it's for, is to just sort of explore things and figure out what you want to.
You do kind of like there's like some general things that like, are you going to do engineering or are you going to do science or but there's a lot of things that are kind of like they're basically tied to faculties. So like kind of what is your main interest? Like is it business?
History, like the general stuff.
Yeah. I think other advice where you got like your stepmom, I think you said, or
my dad, my stepmother. Dad? Yeah. Yeah.
And do the college, like maybe do a,
or my sister. Yeah.
So I think that's a great idea. You can kind of like spend a semester do four completely unrelated things, and see which ones. I think you figure it out by like over like by doing stuff.
Yeah, and that's what you know, I've kind of been pushing him to go out west.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know, like try get out different. Of your sort of comfort zone and go and try something different, be somewhere else, you know, different people, different surroundings, like different opportunities. I think that's oftentimes a good thing to sort of shake it up, and you know, if you're bored with something or or whatever, a change of scenery can help sometimes.
For sure. Like I came here, my dad came with me and spent like a week, you know, got the important stuff, registered the bank account, residence, all that stuff. And then after a week he went and it was like, oh shit, okay, now it's just me here. And
that's crazy. Well, that must have been weird. Kids moving away from home to go to university or something. I mean, you're still on like the same continent. You can still sort of, you know, drive home on the weekend, but you know, having your parents being like, well, how long is that flight? Like 8 or 9 hours? 14 hours. That's, you know, that's a long way away.
A long way. And it was like, for me, it was like when I came here, it didn't hit me until when he left and the day after when I woke up in the morning. And it was like the first time I woke up that I wasn't in a place that I was familiar with.
Right.
And there was nobody that I was familiar with was there. It was okay. I don't know anybody here.
Like literally completely alone in an entire country.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was the only thing that kind of like was like, okay, you know, I was living at the university the first year.
Yeah.
So that was good. And I think that's important too. I think kind of like, I hear this often from other people that lived off campus, and they've kind of sometimes, a lot of them say like they've kind of feel like they've missed out
on right.
stuff. And there's a lot of friends that I've made that I still know till today from first year.
Oh, that's cool.
And I think it's really important. Like, I think you probably can find cheaper places outside of, and it's not that expensive. I think it's like the dorms are like equivalent to like renting a room in a basement somewhere. Maybe it's like a little bit more expensive. There's like cost of food and stuff like that.
Right.
But I think kind of the experiences that you gain from that first year on residence is really valuable and builds that, especially if you go to somewhere like if he goes to Vancouver or like BC or whatever, where he still knows people there. But even if he goes somewhere where he doesn't know anybody,
yeah it'd be, you know, that would be I mean that's the way to do it. Like, it seems like that's, you know, I never went to college or university, so. But that's always the thing. You never hear about, you know, somebody talking about some amazing lecture that they sat through or something like that. It's always about like some crazy times they had with their friends or some party or some, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's almost as though, you know, that's as much of a part of the education you're learning, you know, like the interaction with people, because you're sort of like you're entering into sort of society. You're no longer protected by your parents in a way. You don't live at home. You're sort of out there doing things, but you're doing it with other people who are sort of your same age. And but so you're like, it's almost like practice for the real world in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I mean, aside from classes and learning things in that respect, you're learning a lot, you know, just by being around other people your age. And like you say, you know, if you're living on campus, you're going to be around other people too, like that all the time. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's really easy when you live off campus to just sort of not ever bump into people unless you're going to class. Right.
Exactly. And that's okay too, but it's like, there's a lot of good parts that you would miss out on. And just being on campus and the dorms, especially the dorms, and like all the stuff that happens there, and it's like, it's just you'll sit back 10 years later, you'll hang out with the same people, and you'll be like, hey, remember that stuff that we did? And now, like, so I know a couple of people and they've got kids now, and when I see them, our kids are kind of like playing with each other, but we were kind of remembering, like, hey, remember when you did this, or when you got in trouble over that, or.
So that's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. What is what is your son like? What does he think he wants to do?
He's, well, he's gone. He seems to be interested in social studies in some way. Mm-hmm. He spent a week, down in the Dominican Republic, I believe it was, you know, building houses for a charitable organization that my dad and my stepmother are involved with. Okay. So like, you know, they all went down and were helping out doing stuff like that, and he seems to be interested in something related to that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I even suggested to him, like, why don't you go and do that for and do that for 6 months or a year. I mean, that's great experience too, in and of itself.
Yeah.
Just seems to me like it, like, there doesn't, I know the schools in Ontario are good, but it doesn't seem like there's tons of jobs in Ontario for the kids that are coming out of those schools. Like, it doesn't seem like there's a logical, like, I know, is it, McMaster, that's by BlackBerry. Waterloo, right? Yeah. And like they, you know, they pluck all the best students from Waterloo to come and work at BlackBerry. They used to. I don't know if they're getting sold or whatever now. But yeah, anyways, what companies are plucking, you know, students from U of T or Ryerson or, you know,
right,
those other kinds of places. And I mean, even then, it seems to only be, you know, tech companies that are doing the plucking. There's that's really the only.
I think kind of like it's like the with tech, you've got this kind of special field where the barrier to do it is so low versus other fields. For example, mechanical engineering. So we went to Waterloo and interviewed. We participated in the co-op program there. So we're interviewing some computer science and software engineering students. And the guy next in the room next door was interviewing mechanical engineering students. And he was like, I'm not able to find people that I can hire because a lot of those students haven't held a wrench in their life before. and I was like, really? Like, I was surprised. Like, you know, the comp sci and the software engineering ones we've interviewed had GitHub accounts. They've written code. They've built games. They've done stuff that you can look at and talk about. Well, he was kind of struggling with having a conversation about something where
it's so popular and pervasive too, right? Like, you know, nobody's watching. I'm trying to think. All I can think of is like Bob Vila's home renovation show or whatever at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, like that's probably not even on the home network anymore, whatever janky channel it used to be on. You know what I mean? There's no fixation on anything other than computers and stuff like that. But anyways, let's move on from this topic. I want to ask you a question. And the question is, what are your favorite podcast or podcasts at the moment? What are you listening to?
Right now, I haven't. I've got like, if I open iTunes, I've got like 45.
Oh man,
things that I'm subscribed to.
45 things you're subscribed that I haven't listened to?
Well, no, 45 like, podcasts that I need to listen to.
How many things are you subscribed to?
I've got many different feeds. I do like a lot of the This Week in stuff, like This Week in Tech and This Week in Google and those kind of podcasts. Where are they? The non-tech related ones that I really, really like is like the Mike Rogan one. And
Mike Rogan?
Is it Mike Rogan actually?
Or Joe Rogan?
Joe Rogan. Yes.
Joe Rogan. Mike Rogan.
The problem with that one is that it's so long.
Yeah, they're like 3 hours usually.
But right? My brother used to live in Waterloo, and whenever I drive there, that was like my podcast time.
Yeah, because it's like, what, a half an hour to, no, an hour to Waterloo?
Sorry, something like lived that? In Windsor. No,
Windsor, yeah. So you could like listen to a whole episode.
So yeah, exactly. And it was two ways. So I would, you know, I would visit him like every few months or 3 months or something like that. And that was when I would listen to the Joe Rogan podcast. And then the other ones are pretty short. They're like an hour. But I haven't... I have a lot of catching up to do. I think my favorite one, like the last one I've heard, was the Joe Rogan podcast, and I like that one. There's like a lot of different topics. The last one I saw was he was interviewing the guy from Silent Bob, I think. You know that guy?
Kevin Smith?
No, not Kevin Smith. There was
Jay and Silent Bob?
Yeah, Jay. He was interviewing Jay, I think.
I can't remember the guy's name. It'll come to me. You just keep talking, and I'll blurt it out when it comes to me.
Yeah. So he was interviewing that guy. I think it was that guy. But they were talking about, like, that guy apparently had cancer.
And yes. I didn't know about it.
And this was, like, I think that was, like, last year or something. But anyway, so he had cancer, and they were talking, basically had this four-hour episode, and he was talking about all these different medications that he was trying, and it was pretty interesting, kind of, like. So I think, kind of, in terms of non-tech, that's kind of one of my favorite non-techy ones. The other ones I listen to are all tech ones. What about you?
It's Jason Mewes is the guy's name. That by the way, I looked that up. So I have a relative. I listened to a few tech podcasts. Most of the big ones, Accidental Tech Podcasts, The Talk Show. But the two that I really, really enjoy, like I really, really like, the two that I'm, you know, calling my favorite at the moment. The first one is called 5x5, or sorry, it's called Back to Work.
Back to Work?
It's called Back to Work. It's on 5x5. That's the podcast network it's on. Got that backwards. I think it's 5x5.tv or 5x5.fm, one of those. Which is really good. It's called Back to Work. It's hosted by these two guys. Sorry?
I'm checking it out now.
Okay, yeah, subscribe to it. Yeah, Merlin Mann and Dan Benjamin. It's a really great Merlin Mann. It's sort of his show, I guess. But he's, I don't know if you've heard of him. He's this sort of started out as this productivity guru type guy, but he's an interesting thinker. And they have these really, really, really interesting conversations about things. Some things tech related, most things not really tech related, but are related to tech in the sense of like it's related to working better, you know, being a better at the work you do or being better in your personal life. Not necessarily like self-improvement stuff, but it's really interesting. It's really great conversational type stuff. It's not really current event type thing. And the other one, which is, it's got one of the same guys from Back to Work. So it's called, Roderick on the Line, and it's Merlin Mann and this guy, John Roderick, who is, I mean, I'd never heard of him. Sorry if you're listening. He had these bands in Seattle in the 90s, I guess, late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
I guess that were somewhat popular. But anyways, so these, I think I told you about this one. These are the two guys that had this phone call.
What was this one called?
It's called Roderick on the Line.
That one sounded really interesting.
It is. It's Roderick super, super interesting. On the Line. Yeah, check those two out.
iTunes.
Yeah, it's really interesting as well. And it's interesting because the other guy, Roderick or John Roderick, he's not, you know, in tech at all. He's like this musician, artist sort of guy, and he has got stories to tell. I am telling you, he like was born in Alaska and lives in Seattle now, but then like walked across Europe from like I don't know what walking across Europe entails, but he did it like from one place to another place. And it's just got a lot of really interesting stories. But again, it's, I don't know. It's interesting. I relate to them on some level for some reason. You have to listen to it to
yeah, I just subscribe to that.
Nice. So you're gonna have to get through that after your other 45 podcasts.
I'm going to delete a bunch of them.
I do that. Do you sort of like call the herd, call the list?
Yeah. Like podcasts? Like at some point. I'll probably like the ones you've told me about, I'm going to try those out. And then look at what there's some stuff in here that like I haven't listened to in ages. But I've even like I don't have it like auto downloading the podcast anymore.
Yeah.
Because before it was like, yeah, it would just download it. And I used to be like on the phone or whatever. And I just used to have more time to listen to it.
Yeah.
And I guess now I don't have as much time for all these podcasts.
You got to cut out the podcasts. You got to just delete all the ones. Just delete everything except for the two I just told you about.
That's a good idea, actually.
That's what I'd like doing things like that.
Just declare bankruptcy.
Yeah, all these. I love doing stuff like that. All right. Let's do that. Fuck it. Delete.
Done.
There you go.
What do I have now left? So, where did they go?
You have a manageable number of podcasts left.
I have Back to Work, the Joe Rogan Experience, This Week in Tech, and the other one you told me, Roderick Online. So I'm down to four.
Yeah, it's good.
And even between those four, I've got 10 episodes that I haven't
listened to. There you go. So you've got some things to do.
I've got like 6 of the Joe Rogan Experience to catch up on.
That's like, what is 6 times 3? That's like 18 hours of podcast listening.
Insane.
It's going to take you 6 months.
It will probably. When do you listen to these podcasts?
Me?
Yeah, like
I listen to the podcast when I commute to it from work.
So just the 10 minutes or 15 minutes? Or?
No, it takes like 40 minutes. Yeah, actually, well, and 40. I also like about 6 months ago, I started. You know the route I take to work.
Yeah.
I started getting off, and you know where I work.
Yeah.
Not gonna say that on here, but. I started getting off the streetcar at Roncesvalles, you know, like the Queensway in Roncesvalles.
Okay.
And walking the rest of the way to work.
Really?
Yeah.
That's quite a hike.
It's 2 kilometers. It's not that far.
Really?
Yeah, it isn't really that far. So my whole, it's about 45 minutes streetcar plus walking.
Yeah. That's why you've clocked 1 million steps last year.
Yeah, man. No, in 3 months, dude.
In 3 months?
1 million steps in 3 months.
That's insane. Yeah, how is that? 1 million steps? Like, yeah. you walked around Earth or something probably with that.
There was some weird, like, stat on the thing that was like, you've walked to the moon or something like that. Oh, I can't remember what
in
it was.
In 3 months. Yeah. So basically you could walk to the moon and...
I don't know if I could walk.
I think rocket ship takes longer than 3 months to get to the moon.
I don't think I could walk 1 million steps in a row, though. Yeah, I think that'd be a lot of steps. It's like
your feet will probably just fall off.
Okay, dude, let's wrap this one up.
Sounds good, man.
I think this time, if anybody's listening this far in, we'll throw out our email addresses. No, let's maybe not throw out our email addresses. Let's throw out the website. We can throw out the website, www.devto.ca. That's where this podcast will be posted. And my Twitter handle is at Jonesy. It's J-O-N-E-Z-Y.
And mine is at Nael Shawa, N-A-E-L-S-H-A-W-W-A. And if you go to DevTO website, you'll see all of us there as well.
Excellent. All right, buddy. Great talking to you. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, man. Same time. Right. Next week. See ya.
Sounds good. Bye.
Bye.